Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is my interview with Academy Award winner Javier Bardem on his three roles in Beating the Ricardos, Dune, and The Good Boss.
We've been through worse than this.
We have?
No.
Javier, first and foremost, congratulations on your Screen Actors Guild nomination for Being the Ricardos. It must be really great to get that recognition from your peers, and I know that you're no stranger to that. You've been getting accolades all throughout your career, and why not? You're a really, really phenomenal actor, and you have three films this season in the award season race with Being the Ricardos, Dune, and The Good Boss, which is shortlisted for Spain's entry for Best International Feature this year. So all around, great success. You must feel like you're on top of the world right now, right?
Well, it's a very special moment for sure, because I had three movies out, and they're so different from each other.
Yeah.
And from as an actor, that's a gift. It's a bless that you can show three performances that are, well, different from each other, because they don't have anything to do with each other. The movies that those performances are in and the stories that we're telling. So it's not that I feel like the top of the world. I feel like grab this moment, because it's not very common, and you have to taste it. You have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It means more work, but also means like, wow. What a gift to be able to show that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And you're showing sides of us that we have not seen before. I know that you were already contracted and working on The Little Mermaid when you started with Being the Ricardos, but we got to see you sing, dance on screen. You got to play some drums. I mean, tell us what that was like, just being able to kind of flex that new muscle of acting on screen.
For me, it was the most challenging part, to be able to bring the musicality of Desi into the screen. It's not a musical movie. It's a movie about many things, but one of the characters is a musical person, is a musician, and that has to be there, not only the singing, but also in the way he approached the music and how the music is in his body. That's why we added those little dances or movements in him, because when I see him on screen, on TV, in the chapters of the I Love Lucy episodes, you can tell the way he moves, he's loose. He's a musician. He will start singing and dancing in a second. He has it. And that, not only the singing part, the technicality of it, but to bring that world into my body is what I wanted to bring. And I loved it, because it gives you joy. The music is also, it's so creative, it's so expressive, it's so emotional, it's so alive, it's so in the moment, that helped my performance to be that as well. Like, be a person as Desi was, that was really free enough to express himself with no boundaries, no shame. He was out of shape, and he won't get stuck in his own fears or insecurities or dramas. He will have his flaws like everybody else, but he will overcome it with sense of humor and with rhythm. And I like that. That was, I guess, one of the challenges for sure.
Sure. And we're talking about music here. I understand that you're a metal fan. So am I, actually. Yeah. And you're playing three very distinct characters, as you said before. Curious to know, if you're on set and you're listening to any kind of metal music, what band are you listening for each one of your characters?
Absolutely. That's a great question. When I was playing Desi, I was especially listening a lot of Cuban music from the 60s and the 40s and the 50s, with Cuban bands. And also Desi's records, for sure. So there was not much time to heavy metal, except for when I was working out at home. Then, yes, then it will be the classics, my classics. It was the last album of AC/DC, Power Up. I burned that album like it, until it broke, you can tell.
I'm sure you did, for sure. Yeah.
And then for Dune, I was also hearing some music from the Middle East, some Arabic chants. Mm-hmm. It was more like getting to those slow, nice, very guttural and visceral kind of animal sounds that there's in some of that music that takes you to those places in the antique. Mm-hmm. But again, when I was working out, then it will come Metallica and Megadeth, and I love Pearl Jam. I can't wait for them to tour again.
Oh, and, I can't wait for live music to just kind of, yeah, you know, be in full swing again. Yeah.
But basically, in those roles, I try to listen with something that will take me there emotionally, mm-hmm, to where they're supposed to be, where they belong.
So would you say music is like a very integral part of your process?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's immediate. For me, music is the most rich creative expression and shape of art, the art expression, because it's immediate. It's organic. There's no thought. It really takes you to so many different places in 1 second.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge, huge devote fan of going to super crowded concerts. Like, I get myself in the line. I get myself right there in the middle.
I love it too. Yeah,
I love to be there and be sweated out by others and screaming. I love it. I love it. Shit. I hope these times will come back, Jesus.
I do too. I won't be crowd surfing, but I'll definitely be in those pits for sure, hanging out.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And then the other thing too I wanted to ask, just kind of pivoting a little bit over to Dune.
I ask for this. Do not seek our sieges. Do not trespass in our lands. The desert was ours long before you came. So come and dig your spice. But when you have it, go back to this side of the shield wall. I must go. That's all I have to say to you.
Part 2 has been announced. Have you received a script yet? Have you gotten a phone call? Are you trying to work out scheduling? Where are you at in that process right now? Because I know the book. I know Stilgar's got more to do, and I can't wait to see what you're going to bring to it.
Thank you very much. You know, and I'm not lying to you. I don't know shit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not that I don't know shit. It's like I know exactly the same that you.
Yeah.
The day before, no, the day before. 1 hour before it was officially announced, I got a text from my agent and friend, Elise. It's coming out. I said, coming out what? Dune 2 is happening. Really? And then I was like, yeah. Then I talked to the knee in this, I've seen him in a couple of awards ceremonies thing when we could go in person. Mm-hmm. And he told me, I'm writing. He's now writing. And then I saw there is a release date, October 23. In a movie like this big and this complex, I guess it has to happen this year for sure. I heard summertime. I read summertime. Yeah. I'm asking the production. They cannot tell me because I guess they are figuring out how to put such a big thing together with so many agendas, so many schedules for different people. And I guess it has to be this year. I don't know if it's going to be summer or the last quarter. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, of course, the second half of the book, Stilgar has a lot to do with Paul in teaching him the ways of the desert, and I can't wait to go back with Denis, which is such a loving man, and also so passionate, because you can tell he's doing a project of his dreams.
Yeah, I agree.
So much there, right there, and he's so generous and. He's so gratitude. He feels so much gratitude towards everyone for helping him doing one of his dreams come true. That it's such a nice energy to be around, and at the same time, he knows what he's doing. Jesus, he knows what he's doing.
Oh, I'm sure on a project
to a point
like this,
where
you
can do two takes, mm-hmm, and you go, "What? Hey, we're not doing a very low independent movie. Come on, what's going on here? I got it. So, okay.
He knows what he wants. He knows what he wants.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Well, I can't wait, like I said, to see what you bring to that character for sure. In The Good Boss, you're playing a morally, let's just say, unethical person. Yes. And it's a lot of fun. It's a really enjoyable watch. I quite had a good time with that character and also that premise as well.
Tenemos mucho que celebrar. Que gracias a vosotros, hoy somos finalistas del premio que da el gobierno regional a la excelencia empresarial.
In this, you're obviously working in your native language. I'm curious to know, just like when you go back to those productions outside of the U.S., speaking your native language, what is like the stark difference that you notice immediately right away in how Spanish productions run against American productions?
I think... Well, we usually don't have the budget that those movies have. Or mm-hmm. We had an attempt of shooting Little Mermaid in January, February 20th. And mm-hmm. then, of course, it was canceled. So I had a taste of what it was, the sets, the wardrobe, the thing was so right. big and so beautiful. Then cut to 9 months later, shooting in Spain, The Good Boss, ready to, again, try for the second time Little Mermaid. And this is a modest budget movie. But I guess at the end of the day, it's the same. It's when they say rolling action is the same. Sometimes you have explosions or you have green screens or you're dressed like a man in the desert and there are huge sets like in Dune. But I know for my fellow actors and I that when we talk about this, it's the same fear, it's the same insecurity, it's the same lack of security, lack of owning the role, owning the part. I always feel that I'm the wrong actor to play every part. I've always felt that, and I will always feel it. It's like, I know there is somebody there that can do a better job, but I got it, so I have not to earn it. And the only difference in Spanish is that I can be faster. I can be more flexible in the with the language. Mm-hmm. I can be more like precise with one word or with what pause or with what color I can give to that word, to that phrase, or to that pause, because I know the language is in my DNA. In English, now it's way better than it was 20 years ago, but still sometimes I go like, for example, with Aaron Sorkin, it's like, wow, this is complex, it's fast, and you have to really say everything that it's as it is written. So that was a challenge as well, to be able to not get caught in the pronunciation of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, because that itself is the enemy of acting. Acting has to do with being free to explore, free to try different things, feel free to just say the line from here or from there, and not getting caught on how to say the line so you mm-hmm. are understood. That still in English gets a little bit too much of attention for me.
Sure, yeah.
Grandpa Fred was wrong, Lucy. Yes, he didn't tell you the part where they throw your father in prison for the crime of being the mayor of a city. I was chased to this country, Lucy. Believe me, you checked the wrong box.
You were alluding to a second there ago, and I've heard you say that line before as well about earning the part, better actors for the role and stuff. I'm sure, you know, you've heard some of the casting concerns about being the Ricardos.
Sure.
Obviously, you're still getting praise for the role in the end. You're an actor. You're hired to do a job. You did your job. But I'm curious to know, just in regards to like people who did cast those concerns, you know, what would you say to people out there who want to see better representation on screen and seeing themselves, you know, reflected?
Absolutely. Well, what I would say to them, and especially to the producers and directors, is that yes, they should, they must.
Yeah,
of course. And I support that 100%. I mean, I'm a foreigner myself. And during this process, I said, I know what I'm talking about. I know what they're talking about not having representation, the minority representation. Me as a Spaniard from Spain, in the 30 plus years that I've been working on this, and I would say since I did Before Night Falls, which is 2000 until today, so it's 22 years, I've worked, I'd say, more often out of Spain than in Spain. I've only played two characters that are from Spain. One is Capitan Salazar in Sparrow's Pirates of the Caribbean, and the other one is with Woody Allen, because it happened in Spain and he was a painter.
Right.
The rest, to find a Spanish character from Spain in a movie that is not in Spain, is impossible. It's so difficult. So my career, and many of the careers of my fellow actors from Spain, actors and actresses, have been based on playing different different origins in movies. Most of it Latin Americans and some of them Europeans, because I cannot play British, but I can play, I think I can play a French or German or Italian or Swiss accent in English. So I know what minority is, and we are victims of that. If I could only play Spanish from Spain characters, I will still be waiting. That being said, when some other Latin American actors that live in Spain or come from Latin America to Spain to do, as they've done, and still they're doing Spanish roles, I am the first one to support that as well. Like, yeah, if that's the choice that the director wants after trying other Spanish actors, and if that person, that actor or actress, is really doing a great job on trying to, well, achieve the accent, the mannerism, of course, because that's the magic of acting. That's the magic of performing. So one thing doesn't have to go against the other. In this case with Desi, they went to all the actors, they didn't find it. And then they came back to me and I said, yes, of course I'll take it. And I will work as hard as I can in order to earn it. And I think we have to be careful with trying to frame what we do for a living, because acting, it's a thing that has to do with expanding the boundaries. And if we conceive this as a closed patch of only being allowed to represent what you are as a person, where you come from as an origin, what your sexual tendency is, what your accent says of you, that's representing yourself on and on and on and on, which is the difference of acting. It's so different from acting. So one thing which is support that doesn't have to do with the other, which is, and in the case that's not happening because or they haven't found the person they wanted, or the person they found is not the person that the director or producer feels is the best option for the role, then we have to live with that, because that's been always the case for actors.
So it comes from the top down, basically, essentially, like the decision making.
Of course. And we have to support that. But I play gay Before Night Falls, Second Skin, which is a movie in Spain, The Ages of Lulu. I mean, Skyfall is not gay. Skyfall was a different kind of different monster.
You are crushing fan theories right now.
Yeah, like he was trying to stabilize. Mr. Bond, and sexuality was one tool for that, but it was not. Listen, of course, if there are gay actors that can do the role and they are openly gay, and they are proud of being gay, as they should. But we know how the life in the world is today, and they should go for them and try to cast them. Mm-hmm. But in the case they don't find him, then what? Should the movie be suspended? Should the movie be canceled? Should the role be erased? No. Let's find another actor, and maybe he's a straight and he'll do a beautiful job. Like many gay actors and actresses have played straight roles mm-hmm. for ages. And also, not everyone wants to share her sexuality in public or publicly, saying, yes, I want to do it and I am gay. Well, we have to respect that. We have to also be, to honor the fact that some actors or actresses don't want to share that intimacy with producers or with the audience. So what I mean is, of course, if there's such a thing, they should be the first option. But if that person is not the right person for whatever reason, or they haven't found the person, then of course a straight actor should play a gay role. I've played 3 times, and I will be more than happy to play it again, as long as it's well written, and I think I can do it, as I've done it before, like 3 times.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you've seen your face get digitally altered on screen before. You mentioned Captain Salazar and Pirates of the Caribbean a moment ago, and also with Skyfall. And so seeing yourself de-aged, though, in being the Ricardos, what is that experience like? Because I can't imagine what it would be like seeing myself many years younger on screen.
Well, it is funny because it's done in a way. Of course, I have my beard now and blah, blah, blah. But also the make, I lost the weight. I get tan. Mm-hmm. I get in shape. The wig was beautiful and beautifully made, because he had to be a wig for the shape of it. It was so distinctive.
Yeah.
The hair of Desi. But it was not easy to do that on as a hairstyle in my own hair. Because mm-hmm. the quality of my hair is very soft, so it doesn't get. So when I was playing those scenes already, there was a youth in it, and also you're playing younger.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to be silly, but you're playing a different energy. So right. When I saw the age, it was like, wow, I see it. It's there, but it wasn't that. I didn't feel like it was a huge change. Mm-hmm. I mean, like. Feels good because you are younger, but to myself, yeah. I wasn't like, oh my God, what is that? No, it wasn't that impactful. I thought it was done very subtle.
Yeah, I thought so too.
So I love to be part of the story.
To the point where I didn't even realize it was even happening until somebody pointed it out to me after the movie was over. I was like, really? They did that? But hey, Javier, I could listen to you talk about your roles and your process all day long. You're a phenomenal actor, and I am a big, big fan of all of your work. And I really appreciate your time here today, and wish you the best of luck continuing on with Dune, Little Mermaid, and everything else that you have going on in the rest of your career.
Thank you very much, my friend. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with Javier Bardem here on the Next Best Picture podcast. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.